I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. We're going to open the phone lines up in about a half hour, 11:30. You want to get on early? You can.
Call now.
Joined by Sean Salisbury in just a moment here. I do briefly want to look at the NFC standings, B.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we're after Halloween. Halloween's always my cutoff to when you know a team is real or not, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're 7-2. Haven't had their bye week. Some teams have. Their bye week comes late.
In a sense, you could care less about that bye week, right?
Some ways, you're like, all right, well, they got it.
Yeah, hell with it. Let's keep it going, man. Hell with the bye week.
Detroit's at first. Detroit's really good. If you watch them go to Green Bay and just really beat down the Packers, yeah. The Lions are legit. Made it to the NFC Championship last year. Like, there's no surprises there for me.
None whatsoever.
The way they are physical and run the ball and Goff is dealing.
Let me ask you a question, though.
What?
Any chance this game gets flexed?
Steelers?
Yeah.
I highly doubt it. I'm not going to say no, but if you look at the procedures involved, Sunday night football is Texans-Lions, which is a really good game. NBC's not going to waste an ask.
You sure?
And then the 4 o'clock game is Eagles-Cowboys, which is a massive game.
Yeah.
And then it's too early in the year to flex a Monday nighter.
It could be a snoozer, too.
It could, but it'll be – what do they care about? Money and eyeballs, and Eagles-Cowboys will give you that.
Mm.
Right now, though, we are going to the BetQL guest line to talk to our friend, Mr. Sean Salisbury. Sean, what's up, man? Thanks for making time with us.
Great to be on with you guys, man. What an honor to be this show, and you actually bring a mere minion like me on. I appreciate it, man.
Oh, man, stop that.
B-Mitch, good to talk to you, too, brother. How are you guys doing?
We're doing good, man. You been golfing lately?
Come on, man. Once I'm done with you guys, I'm doing the same thing today. I got to get a handicap to where I can at least compete with somebody like you. So, yeah, I'm practicing.
Sean, B and I played this weekend, and we lost to London Fletcher and CJ. So it wasn't that much fun.
We're going to get him back.
Well, we got to fix that, man. you let a linebacker handle you guys? Come on now, Mitch. I know.
Now, we got this guy that says a 7, but he plays more like a scratch.
Yeah, but Fletch did get hot on the back.
So what a shock. He milked the system.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm a 7. Then he shoots 68. Yeah, my
kind of
guy, right?
Sounds everybody in D.C. is just going nuts. Commanders are 7-2 and have a quarterback that looks like the absolute real deal. What have you thought watching Washington so far?
I love him, and I've loved him. I go on in New Orleans every week. I have for like a half a dozen years in Baton Rouge, New Orleans, and watching him when he came from Arizona State, which I saw him as a Pac-12 guy, right, when he was a freshman. And he's got, you know, we see guys that'll play well, and then you say, man, are they – and I'll use Trevor Lawrence as an example, who I think is a really talented guy. But the inconsistent, has he gotten better? You know what I'm saying? That we see sometimes. And I watched him when he got there with Brian Kelly the first year. He was, you know, he did some good things, but was not taking shots, was very protective of the football, played a lot of horizontal football, and didn't push the ball down the field. I'm talking about Jaden. And then he spent time in the offseason. They came back the next year. And he became one of the best deep ball throwers the next year as Heisman year that we had in the country, and it's continued. What I mean, he's gotten better every single year at some phase of his game, and then at all phases. And so when I was watching him last year, he was college football's best player. He was.
Mm.
And then you say, okay, a dual threat guy, how are you going to utilize that at the next level? Well, when you're that talented, and then you put in the most important thing, aside from the leadership, people are magnetized to him. He is a guy that you saw that – listen, there's a few bodies that will come in, and we saw it here, and that's why – it's kind of cool here. We saw the same thing happen with Stroud here and D'Amico Ryans. They come in. There's accountability. Look what Dan Quinn's done. Look what Kingsbury's done with Jaden Daniels, a guy who gets offense. And then Jaden Daniels just keeps getting better and has worked on his craft. And now the similarities. Now, he's better with his feet than Stroud, but the way that they make players around him better. If somebody's hurt, they still elevate their play, and others elevate their play. And that's not by chance.
Mm-hmm.
Mitch, you've been with these. You see this. These guys, they come in and there's accountability, and all of a sudden you just expect it from other players because you know he's going to deliver. I love him. And then the one thing, accuracy, you either got it or you don't. True. We can improve it as coaches, and if you're a 58% guy, you can get you to 62. Rarely are you taking a – it's going to be hard to take a guy like Richardson as a 46% thrower and make him a 68% thrower in his career. That's just hard to do. Mm-hmm. That's 20 percentage points. So with this guy, he can complete 65% blindfolded. So I love him. This is not by chance. This is and look what he's doing, distributing the football. And now the defense elevates because they know we don't need – we're not worried because he can match and score. The ball rarely hits the ground. I love him, man. I do, and I love what Washington's doing. The whole culture change in the building with a couple guys, and now look at it. It's permeated through the entire building. And I think that they may not be the most talented roster in the division. That may be Philadelphia. But for my money, the best quarterback in the division resides in Washington, and the best team in the division for consistency, I think it's the Washington Commanders.
Well, I think when you look at it, even in the first preseason game they played, he checked off a play and threw a 40-something-yard pass, and they were like a little mad at him because they were like, we didn't want you to do that right there. But the kid understands the offense. He knows it. How much easier is that for a coach to be able to implement what they need when you have a guy who's going to do the work anyway?
Mitch, I love that, too. And you know what I like, too? He got the balls to do it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
A lot of rookies come in like, well, coach, I it's a call it and run it. We're not – hell no. I always say beg forgiveness rather than ask permission. And you go and say – and I've always said, in coaching players, I said, as long as you can come to me on the sideline or and tell me why you threw it there or why you did it, if you come over there with that Brook Trout look giving me like I'm not sure why I did it, then I got a problem. But if you walk over to me as a rookie or a 10-year veteran and say, I saw this, this is why I did this, as a coach, I can accept it. And you know what? Even though they maybe are talking about, man, rookie, what's he doing this? In the private meeting room with the coaches, they're like, I love this guy. Right off the bat, he's taking charge. It's like that guy, you know, that hits everything that moves in practice. He's a rookie, and he gets kicked in practice, safety, and the coaches. Dude, you can't keep doing this to our players. And then they go watch the tape of practice when they're sitting in the coach's meeting. They're like, we got ourselves a baller. That's how you feel about this. So you want that. And I love it because football IQ, and he's done nothing but continue to work on it. You can't do what he's doing and not understand not just the good things you do, but understand on the offense, but understand the defensive side of the ball where you understand coverages. And it's hard because most rookies – hell, you're just scrambling around trying to get your own verbiage out of your mouth when you're playing. But he has a great sense of what's going on, and you can tell, even if we're not in the meetings, by how quickly the ball gets distributed to a bunch of different bodies. If you're a receiver on – I don't believe in decoys, and if you're a member of the Washington Commanders wide receiver team, I'd expect the ball on time and ready or you're going to get hit in the face and with accuracy, and everybody's up. They have found a guy who he's a rookie of the year, no doubt. I don't know how we're not throwing him into the Goff, Lamar, Derrick Henry category as an MVP candidate. Because I can tell you this continues. It's okay. Jim Brown can't be the only rookie that ever wins MVP and Rookie of the Year in the same season. I love what he's doing.
He's just been so good and so poised and so composed. We're talking with Sean Salisbury here. Sean, you can follow him at Sean Unfiltered. Of course, check out his radio show, everything Sean does down in Houston. Dude, one thing that I perhaps hasn't been talked about enough, when you go back and watch these Commanders games, how impressed are you by their offensive line?
Well, to me, that's – and you and Mitch can tell you this as well. I see – look what's happening here in Houston, just as the comparisons are pretty relevant to both teams, is that – in the run game, they're dominating people. In the pass game, there's nobody who's putting their quarterback in worse situations protecting the passer than the Texans right now, which is odd. You know, last year they protected the passer, couldn't run. Joe Mixon comes, and Joe's a grown-ass man in football playing Jesse, and they've elevated that part of their play. But they're just not blocking simple stuff, right? In Washington, I think Washington, Detroit, look what they're doing. They're keeping their passer upright. They're allowing you to get in and out of plays. They're giving you time to throw. And they're also not the simple stuff, passing off and making sure that every guy – and I'm convinced everybody talks about quarterback, receiver, you know, the camaraderie, which is important. But a curl is a curl is a curl. A post is a post is a post.
Right.
Five guys, the unison you must have, those linemen have to be like the synchronized group of swimmers. Honestly, The right guard needs to know what the center's doing, center, and all the direction of going. And then the quarterback needs to understand while he's directing it how to keep him, slide the line one way, change protection if the center's not doing it, all those things. I think aside from the quarterback's accuracy and the culture change, I think the biggest reason in the building that's happening, you want dogs and you want guys that are nasty and mean and angry up front on the field. Nicest guy, offensive lineman, you feed him a hot meal, pay him and tell him how great they are if you're the offensive coach. They're good, man. They don't need a whole lot of praise. They are they look like old, and I'm not saying they're the hog squad, but they look like old school Bronco, Raider, Washington, Detroit's offensive line, the way they're playing. And I'm going to tell you, regardless of how good the quarterback is, if that guy's not upright, things change, and they can run it, they can play action it, and they seem to have a pretty good idea of what the defense is trying to do and how to combat it. You got to find the conflict, and once you know the conflict, the rest is easy. They're playing about as well as you can play in the NFC, and that will be what sustains them offensively. I already know the quarterback can play.
Yeah.
That offensive line staying healthy, the Washington Commanders, and it's not just getting to the playoffs, which I know everybody, man, what are we doing here? The fan, Washington's a historic franchise. They expect to win, and now with this quarterback, just like they did here last year, the turnaround, once you get in, it's not just one and done. They want to have a chance to extend this, and right now, I know we're a ways away from that, but sitting where they are right now, we could have expected better team this year. None of us thought 7-2 with a rookie quarterback, and a new head coach and a new coordinator. And none of us thought this was going to happen. But quick study, man. The offense, and they buy in. You got to have buy in if you're going to be successful. And they're buying into what Cliff on offense and what Dan's teaching them overall as a football team.
That right there, you know, when they hired Dan, and a lot of people wanting to have Ben Johnson. But one thing about coaches, when a coach can motivate, if a coach can have you buy what he's selling, get you to do stuff that you don't want to do, all of a sudden that coach is a damn good coach. And Dan has been that thus far. You've had any crosses with Dan, and what are your thoughts of him?
Well, no, I obviously followed him closely. I've never had to sit down and talk to him, but I sure have talked to a lot of people from Cowboys, Seattle in the past about, and in Atlanta, who he is, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we can see it. And you are 100. There's that fine line, Brian, that you know about, that being a player's coach to where you don't have accountability, but being a player's coach where guys trust you, that between upstairs and downstairs in the office, you can, what you tell them is true.
Yep.
But they're still, when they walk into your office, there's this feeling of, oh man, I don't know, is coach going to start me? What's wrong? You want that respectful fear that you had for you, that we all have for our parents.
Mm-hmm.
If that, my dad, well, they love you. Well, they call you in, it's like, did I do something wrong? Am I doing the right thing? And you mentioned it. Great quarterbacks, great leaders, great coaches. They get you to believe you can do something you can't, and they get you to want to do something you've never done.
Yep.
That, to me, is – and it's not popular. You guys know this, to be a leader, because part are going to love you, the other part. But when you get guys who haven't bought in that do because they trust what you're doing, that's a big part of it. And listen, if you can't dazzle them with brilliance at times, you got to be able to baffle them with BS. And I'm not saying that's the case, but every now and again, you got to be able to convince a guy that's having one of those days, and you're still a good player. Dude, we're going to be okay, and believe it and have them believe it. Leadership's huge, but buy-in to me, when you can get a roster buying in and there's no cliques in the locker room, that's a big thing. And Dan Quinn's guy, and you see him, you know, when he was in Dallas, hat back, because he just gets it without you taking him for granted. It's a hell of a start to his career in Washington, and it doesn't hurt that when he turns the ball over to the offense, they're pretty damn good.
It certainly doesn't hurt. We're talking with Sean Salisbury here. Give him a follow at Sean Unfiltered. One dude I don't know, but I could see you having a relationship just because he's a Texas guy, is Cliff Kingsbury. What do you think of Cliff? Clearly the connection he's made with Jaden and just the offense they're running.
Well, everywhere Cliff goes. Now, I know that, you know, as a head coach, and we all know that it's tough. You go to places and the expectations, and if the guys, you know, you got to have talented rosters. You can have the greatest coach in the world if the roster doesn't have talent. We all talk about getting guys to buy in and elevating their play. If you don't have talent, you're going to end up either getting fired. If you do have talent, you may get a pay raise. And then the guys with talent that can't do it, then you got a problem. Well, Cliff always – we talked about Jaden's ability to go to the line of scrimmage and take some chances or have the guts to do it. Kingsbury's got that as a coach.
Yeah.
And he's going to get another opportunity at some point in time to be a coach, whether it's in college or the NFL. And sometimes the second or third time around works better for – we've seen it with a lot of coaches. What I do know and have talked to him is that he's not afraid, and he will put his offense in the best position to succeed. We look at Lincoln Riley at SC, struggling as a head coach, but he goes somewhere as a coordinator, I guarantee they're going to score. That's just the way it works. And I love the way some guys just got it when it comes. We know that as a player, but as a coach. And then when you're a head coach, leadership, and you become almost a – you almost have to babysit at times. Cliff's doing what he does great. And, Brian, guys, to me, the best when a coach comes to – when I talk to coaches that have been assistants, coordinators, and head coaches, you know what they tell me they miss most? Coaches, they miss the relationship in the room with their quarterback group or their receiver group or their linebacker group, because you're removed from it as a head coach because you're kind of the CEO and overseer.
Mm-hmm.
Cliff's where he is, the relationship – he can relate to the guys that's by him, but he also is willing to take chances. And I think quarterbacks love that, especially when you got a guy with – you couldn't take those chances with me because I ain't – RPO, you know I'm handing that bitch off. I ain't running it, okay? But with him is that you got a chance to – he expands the bandwidth.
Yes,
I can get
totally.
You horizontally. I can get you vertically. And when I put him in a position of it's third and eight, dude, be smart with the football, he's accurate with the football. So I love Kingsbury. And – right now, Washington loves him too, and you're going to deal with the Ben Johnson stuff every year of, okay, is my coordinator in Detroit going to leave? Cliff will get some inquiries when it's over, but man alive, it's a great way to rebuild your resume on a good rostered team with a head coach that lets you do your thing. And I love that Dan Quinn hired him and is staying out of the way.
Yeah,
he's sticking a head coach and coaching defense. And if you're going to hire a guy, you got to empower him and trust him. And if they don't, then you're held him accountable. Cliff's doing everything right, and like I said, it doesn't hurt that he's got guts, but also that he's got a quarterback that validates what he does. It's perfect for what Kingsbury wants to do.
Totally.
Because you got to be accurate, and the ball's got to come out on time in what he does. And they're doing that right now in Washington.
Well, and it doesn't hurt that Cliff's still making head coach money from Arizona.
Yeah. Hey, when they say house money, that's house money.
Totally.
It's a lot of it. And then it's not like he went and he said he got some hack that took over for – it's like, I get this guy? Oh, okay, yeah, I can – let's see, I had – Caleb for a minute as a coordinator with SC. Then I had Patrick Mahomes and Kyler at times when he had his best and his worst. And now I get to go to Jaden Daniels. Tell you what, Cliff Kingsbury's living right, dude.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, even though he lost that job, he's living right because he'll get another opportunity. But you know what he didn't do? Pout about it. He waited for the right opportunity.
Yes.
And Dan went out and got him because he knows they'll move the football. And it's efficient football when you got a guy who can do it like Jaden Daniels does. Right now, it's the perfect storm going on for Washington. I know there's a long way to go, but better to be 7-2 than 2-7, right, fellas?
I ain't lying about
totally.
That. And we've seen those years.
Yeah.
ain't no doubt. It's been a long suffering, and that's a great football town, fellas, as you know. And it's kind of nice to see them. Football's better when Washington's winning. It just is.
Certainly here is. Sean, thank you so much for
appreciate
your time,
you, bro.
Dude. We really appreciate it.
Ken and Mitch, always great to be on with you too, and anytime, and keep it up. Enjoy this run, man. It's a fun watch.
Right,
thanks,
bro.
Dude.
Take care, man.
It's been
thanks,
fun.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate you.
Make sure you give him a follow. That's Sean Salisbury at Sean Unfiltered. It's that time. Hit the button, Jeff. Open these phones. 800-636-1067. 800-636-1067. Credit pie time.
B. Mitch here. Big changes are happening in the DMV, and just like our upgraded football team, now's the time to upgrade the comfort in your home with a Rood HVAC system. I did, and the difference is night and day. My family and I felt the change instantly, and if you don't have a Rood system yet, trust me, you're missing out. Plus, there are tax-eligible options for you in the DMV, and if you're in Maryland, you might score some utility rebates. So head over to Rood.com, find a local pro partner, and get ready for winter. Always remember, if it ain't Rood, it ain't right.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, good. The mic's on. B. Mitchell Finley, 1067. Of all the times the mic could be on, that one was fine. Jeff, I need you to dispel something for me, pal. We're going to get to these phones, 800-636-1067. There's a picture of Dan Quinn with a gentleman at the airport that somebody's trying to, I assume, make a joke.
Yes, he's trolling.
Yeah.
Who
let's dispel some stuff.
That is 2 Chainz.
There's a picture of Dan Quinn with the rapper 2 Chainz at the airport that somebody tweeted out. Yo, look, it's Dan Quinn with Marshawn Lattimore. They're getting this trade done. So if you are seeing that tweet go around.
Yeah.
And you realize.
You know, they need to just make it to where when you put some BS on social media and people start going for it, they can sue your ass. You'll stop that stupidity.
My guy Matt Carnage asked me on Twitter, I see rumors of Dan Quinn meeting up with Lattimore. Any word? No.
Yeah, he met up with 2 Chainz.
Listen, I don't know.
If he was going for a basketball team, I might believe it.
It's crazy because I literally quote tweeted the dude who posted it. I said, hey, you dead wrong with a laughing emoji. Because he know people's hopes are up for Washington going for a cornerback, specifically Lattimore. And for him to put 2 Chainz, that is hilarious. Because even when I see it, I was like, that's 2 Chainz.
He might not know.
Plenty of corners out there. Lattimore's not the only one. If he's available now, it becomes a little more interesting. Keep in mind, though, I think he's missed a game this
year. Hamstrings.
He missed a lot of time over the last 3 seasons. Prior to that, he's been really durable, but I think a lot of options out there. Don't think it's all eggs in one basket. Albert Breer, I was reading something this morning from Breer on SI just about maybe Cleveland's an option. Maybe that means Newsom's an option. Maybe New England has a veteran corner available. So we're just going to wait and see here, man.
That's what I'm going to do. I think the guy that makes those decisions, I think he's done a great job.
Breer says it would take an outrageous Herschel Walker-type trade to move Myles Garrett, but it doesn't mean he couldn't be moved. Za'Darius Smith and Greg Newsom, far more realistic options. Azeez Ojulari has been really good for the Giants as an edge rusher. I would think the Giants don't want to make a trade to Washington in season, but you never know. I mean, things happen. Washington and Philly just did it.
Washington won that one.
Yeah, Jahan made a good play yesterday. But yes,
Washington won that one.
Yeah, I mean, a lot left to right there. But yeah, I agree with you. Tre'Davious White's another name to keep an eye out. But we're watching. We're paying attention. As of now, we're just not quite sure how it's all going to shake out. Don't want to be too early on this stuff. What I do want to be early on, phone calls, credit pies. As always, on a Victory Monday, our guy Jupe starts us off. What up, Jupe?
What's going on, fellas? Time to get the brooms out because we got a sweep on our hands. Henry T. Daniels done did it again. Hey, mama, there goes that man. Hey, listen, we got to give a shout-out to Rodriguez, because there's a lot of question marks on him. Brown has really been stepping it up this year. And Allegretti, man, for popping Coleman's finger back in there, for Coleman still stepping it up, playing big, holding it down on the left tackle. Big shout-out to those big fellas, man. So you already know what time it is. Time for the victory ritual. That's all due to Ric Flair. Woo!
I love it. Thank you, Jupe. Appreciate you, buddy.
For a bit, I thought Jupe had forgotten we were going to do the victory.
I know. He got it all his analysis first. Professor Landini, do you have a credit pie you would like to give out?
Look, I was telling Jeff earlier, I think the credit, a huge share of it has to go to whoever calls the plays for the Giants. Because when they started throwing the ball, that's when we won the game.
Yeah.
They were running the ball. I mean, it seemed like every play they were just breaking off 8 yards, 10 yards here and there, controlling the ball, killing the clock.
Especially early on.
Dominating time of possession. And then, inexplicably, they said, let's throw it. And Daniel Jones isn't good at that.
Yep.
Jeffrey, how about you, bud? How you feeling?
I'm good, man. I'm good. What would I say? I'm going to go offense. I'm going to give the offense a good 60% because they essentially kept us in the game. And with that offense, I'm going to say offense and Cliff because he did a good job with the game plan yesterday. I got to give 20% to the defense because, dude, they made that Daniel Jones ran over, who was it, Dante Fowler and Sandra Steele at the goal line.
That's why I say wrap up and go to the ground. Stop just bumping people. Daniel's 6'7", 230 something. 6'5", 230 something.
Yeah, I just couldn't. I was not impressed by the defense. And although it was a win, I'm glad we swept the Giants. That was one of the most nerve-wracking wins I've watched this season. Because, we ain't going to say the Hail Mary. I thought at one point we might have been in a different pair of shoes if they didn't march, if our offense didn't march down the field. I think we would have been on the back half of a Malik, I hate to say it, a Malik Nabers touchdown catch if we was not moving on offense.
Late in that game?
Yes. It was really scary. And the last 20%, I'm gonna give to the coaching staff. I think from here on out, the wins gotta go to the coach. They gotta get some credit in all of my credit pies all the time, because we have never seen, I have never seen a team that has bought into their coach's system like this in Washington. The players are buying in. It was a video that surfaced yesterday after the win. Dan Quinn just came in and they was just all jumping up and down. You could feel the energy from the locker room through the phone. He's doing a great job. Dan Quinn, Coach of the Year.
Okay, Jeff. Let's get to these phones. Mike is in Fairfax. Mike, what's your credit pie look like?
So I got 60% offense. I got 10% coaching. 10% Jaden himself, and then the other 24 are defense, man. We all balled out left and right yesterday.
I like it, buddy. Yesterday was a team win. It's funny.
It's been like that lately, man.
Somebody said this afterwards. Thanks for the call, Mike. They haven't had a game where all three phases have played their best.
No.
Like, what does it look like if everybody is – if all three groups are delivering?
Well, I hope it's one of those games that happen right. If playoffs start, they in it. Start doing it then.
Sure. I think
they played well enough in two phases to where they've proven how good a team they are. And if it happens that they play all phases great one time, that may be what we've been waiting on for the longest, man. Because I've been in some games where 45-0, everybody played well. 41-10, everybody played well. You got to find a way to get to that, and I think they're building towards it.
I agree with you. I think defensively they've made some real improvements, some real strides.
Mm-hmm.
Offensively, they're legit. I mean, they're a top five NFL offense.
Yep.
Defensively, they're kind of rounding into shape around inside the top half of the league, but probably outside of the top 10, somewhere in there. And I think there could be more defensive improvement. I'm fascinated if in the next 36 hours or so we see a move to boost this defense, but I don't think they feel obligated to make any sort of move because of a theory that, you know, their window could close. I think the window just got cleaned. Like, it's not only open, it just got open. So I don't think they feel a sense of urgency that I know some fans feel.
That's the thing about it. The fans can feel what they want.
They should.
The person making the decision, he ain't worried about that.
Right.
If it's something that presents itself where he knows it's going to be a great move, he'll do it. If not, he'll move on.
I'm not – whatever shakes out specific to the trade deadline over the next 2 days, there's no outcome that I think I will be frustrated with. If they decide to push in and say you get Max Crosby for 2 1s, I'm talking total hypothetical. Hell yeah. Because he's awesome, and you're going to be drafted 27th. Mm-hmm. You have no idea what these draft picks can become. I don't expect that. But say that you also get through the trade deadline and they don't do anything, I'm okay with that too.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because they're 7-2 already. They're winning games lots of different ways.
Yeah.
There's no definitive right answer, except don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Okay, Landfill, I see you. Shout out to Greg. Brought us a bunch of donuts. Shout out to Jeff. Drove out to Front Royal or wherever that is to get the donuts.
That's like going damn near to West Virginia. Going to Greg's house.
Also, what's my man's name? Shout out to Matt from Stoddart Cement. He's listening to the show, cranking it. We appreciate you, Matt. Phone lines are lit up. giving out credit pies. I have a bunch of names written down.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know my order, but I do. I keep just thinking about yesterday and writing names down. I got Jaden, Chin, Fowler, Terry, Cliff, DQ, Eck for sure. I think that third and nine was huge. OZ iced the game away. Noah Brown was the leading receiver. Yo, have you talked to Noah Brown at all, B?
Yep.
We talked.
He is quiet.
We talked so much about how Jaden is calm and composed and poised. Noah Brown, like, I don't know what the scenario is that dude gets excited. He was pretty calm after the Hail Mary catch.
Oh, he just chill, man.
That dude is the definition of chill. Like, just very, very laid back.
Low key.
Yeah, for sure. Let's go to Eddie in Hartford. Edward, what's up, dude?
Hey, what's going on? This is Ed in Hartford, Connecticut. Let me tell y'all something real quick. Do you know how many Commanders jerseys I've been seeing up here in Hartford, Connecticut, in New England?
Really?
They're repping the entire United States of America. I mean, there was like one Giants fan walked in yesterday into this bar, and like seven Commanders fans walked in right behind her. Like, it is epic to be just winning, but it's really great to see people walking on the streets of Connecticut and Washington Commanders hats, jerseys, keychains are jingling everywhere. You see the flags waving on cars.
I'm liking it.
Jaden Daniels has changed this team to the point that we're all over. All right. Now, here's my credit pie. My credit pie has to be 25% to Dan Quinn, the overall head coach. Whatever he is doing, whatever we're not seeing behind the scenes as even fans, the way that locker room is coming together every time they win, it's insane. It's great to see. They're hyping each other up. They're dancing. I have never seen this a day in my life in the 20-something years Dan Snyder owned that team. The other 25%, it goes to the offense, okay? The offense has turned things around in 1 year. And, B. Mitch, you said this during the offseason. Why not us? Nobody can answer that question. Why not us? Well, we're seeing. It is us. The other 25%, I give to the defense. Now, they got gashed in the first half. I was pissed at it. I wasn't liking it, giving up 140 yards rushing. But they made halftime adjustments. And that's why they still get 25% from me. And this other 25%, I already said it, but it's going to the fans. Keep it up. Let's rock this. Forget about the Bears fans, B. Mitch. I get it. You mad, I'm mad too. But guess what? I don't care. To say that Caleb Williams outperformed Jaden in that game, which Adam Rink and all these other fans, the Bears fans, were saying, when he had 36 yards at the half and Jaden had 154, my nephew could throw for 36 yards at the half. Y'all have a good one.
All right, man.
Thank you, dude. I implore all Commanders fans, stop listening to Adam Rank. Who cares?
Laugh at him. I mean, he's delusional and he's a dork.
It's just a content play at this point. Yeah. Ain't nothing else but a content play. Like, because the retweets and the shares are piling in.
Oh, I'm not retweeting. I just send him one finger salutes through the atmosphere.
That I believe.
All day, every day.
You know what? I'm a little worried about you.
What?
Your voodoo was off on Saturday.
Yeah, it was.
Every time we needed that voodoo, you couldn't get Fletch to miss a putt.
Well, you know what? I got good stuff going in my other aspect of my life. The job I have, so I need to stop worrying about bad things on other people.
Fair enough. Antonio Pierce, Raiders head coach. They just fired most of their offensive staff. He hasn't decided who's going to call the plays or who's going to be the quarterback when the Raiders come back from a bye.
Mm.
Is that Tom Brady's music?
Ooh, I don't think so.
I don't either.
I think Tom's done.
I don't either. Who wants to get weird? Our guy, the Donut King, who always travels with his own shot glass, Commandante Tequila. Hello,
oh,
Commander.
Lord, have mercy.
Hey, you guys. How you guys doing?
Yeah,
I love this, man. And I take out the broom out yesterday, man. I keep calling my friends, you know, they're dying then, but they don't answer my phone. I've been sending my videos and everything. You're just silent for some reason. I don't know why.
You know why? They're getting destroyed.
That's right. Okay, my credit pie, 25% to the Giants defense. They're doing what they're doing. Just keep it up. My 75% is a whole Commanders offense, defense. on to everybody. I'm going to give them a cherry pie with a whipped cream, you know, because they deserve it. So that's my best bet. Other than that, I'm having fun outside. A little hangover, but they don't do it.
You know? Thank you, Commander. All right, man. Appreciate you, buddy.
All right, you guys take care.
All right, bro. Commander, he having fun outside. He had a little hangover. That's what he said.
All right, you speak better, Commander.
You gotta pay close attention.
you gotta lock in.
He gets it right.
You gotta lock in when Comandante's calling. Commanders are 7-2. The amount of texts I shared with people last night, I had somebody text me from the team plane, dude, 7-2.
Mm-hmm.
It's
a good feeling. But this is the thing, like, I have watched this team very closely. And yes, they should be happy with what they've accomplished. But most of these guys don't seem satisfied. And that right there will take you a lot farther. You know what I mean? They're like, okay, we're cool, but it's early. We got other stuff to do. And I like that mindset.
Here's the plan. Phone lines remain open for the next hour. You can hold me to that. Mark Rippon will join us coming up at 1 o'clock. Got some questions to ask. Also, we do have to hear a little bit about Alex Ovechkin, who's ripping it.
He's doing it, baby.
But the Commanders have found this level of success that, frankly, most people would say was unexpected. Their win total for the year was 6.5 wins, and yet they're already at 7. If you bet the over, it already hit.
Mm-hmm.
There are so many reasons to be excited about this team. But perhaps it's the unexpected nature of it that makes it that much sweeter, especially with a rookie quarterback that looks like a future or maybe even a current MVP candidate. But something that's not unexpected is the level of success you'll have working with Paul Henry and his team at Paul Henry's Window Installation. I'm telling you, Paul's done a ton of work on my house. He's done a ton of work on B's house. He's changed my house for the better. He's lowered my utility bills. It is just an entirely different vibe when you work with Paul and his family. All month long, you get $100 off windows with a 5-window minimum and $500 off each door. When you purchase soft light windows, you get an additional 7% off each window. That's a great deal. He'll do great work for you. Brian, I know he's done great work for you.
Yeah, he's done great work for me. JP, and he just left my house. You know, Paul came in. I had to get some new garage doors and also the entry doors into my garage. And Paul works directly with Elite Garage Doors Incorporated. They came over, Brian, listen to me. When I last put garage doors in my house, I did not know that they would transform into what they are now. Cameras on your garage door, open them from wherever you want to open them from, telling you what the temperature is all the time. You could watch people. You know, I like to do that, just watch my kids, see what they're doing in my garage, because that's where I keep my stash at of all my little beer and all the different things like that. But Paul has done a great job for me. You know, you give Paul a call right now. You get $100 off each window with the 5-window minimum and $500 off each door. And as JP stated, when you purchase Softlight windows, you get an additional 7% off each window. So contact Paul Henry's Window Installation today and tell him B. Mitchell Finley sent you. PaulHenry'sWindows.com, your clear home improvement choice.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.